Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Kevin Combs, Vice President here at McKinney Flavelle. Today is September 4th, 2020, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. And of course, it's Friday before a three-day weekend. Do you know what that means, Jeff?
Well, it's not just the Friday before a long weekend. It's a Friday before what is traditionally one of the busiest driving weekends of the year, although this year may be a little bit different. But what is this Friday, Kevin? What does it mean?
It means Mike Coughlin is not on the Commodity Podcast.
Okay, I'm with you.
It pretty much happens every time. We don't know exactly what's going on, but he's disappeared again and asked me to be the host today. So looking forward to it. But rumor has it he may be out there with his son going camping and trying to find Sasquatch again.
Well, it's a good way of having fun and staying socially distanced at the same time, and I'm happy to join you, Kevin, all the same.
Awesome. Well, anyway, we've had a lot of excitement going on, and certainly here at McKinney Flavelle, we've been talking about a lot of the activity in the Gulf, and a very, very active hurricane season prediction has not really disappointed, unfortunately, for many, because this has played a lot of havoc on business in general, and we've talked a lot about that from a sugar perspective, Jeff, but wanted to transition that to you today and talk a little bit more about it from an energy market, because you know we just had Hurricane Laura and Marco hit the Gulf, and then not necessarily impacting the U.S. Gulf Coast, but the other Hurricane Nana just went through and further south and went into Belize. But a lot of this activity seems to have a big impact here on energy markets. And what are you seeing out there?
Yeah, so to your point, it's been a very active hurricane season that was predicted right off the get-go from both Colorado State as well as the National Hurricane Center. And as you said, we had what they described as being a 1-2 punch by both Marco and Laura last week, Laura being the more significant of the two. And a lot of people may not realize this, but it actually set kind of a record in that it was the fifth most intense hurricane to make U.S. landfall in history, or as it recorded. It reached a Category 4 hurricane. It came ashore right on the very western edge of Louisiana, Texas, which is prime oil and gas extraction and refining area of the country. And I think the storm is, responsible for 6 reported fatalities. And subsequently, I think that the death toll has been kicked up to about 24 because of people that were either health compromised and loss of power or heat related or improper use of generators in the wake of the storm. So wow. It was pretty significant.
Definitely significant that you hate to hear about the fatalities and whatnot from all these natural disasters, but they continue to come at us one after another. But when you talked about some of the things, you know, we've seen from a sugar perspective, we didn't have much on infrastructure, but was there any change in infrastructure here as a result of this, or just the typical shutdowns as the storms blow by?
Yeah, great question. So we were fortunate from a sugar perspective in that the storm was tracking far enough on the western edge to not really threaten the two big refineries down there, either Chalmette or Gramercy refineries. And it was also a pretty good deal west of the prime cane growing areas of southeastern Louisiana. But unfortunately, it rolled right through prime gas and oil country. And just a plug for the IQ platform, we'll be putting up a blog, I believe, this weekend that'll actually show a map that kind of overlays the storm track as it went over in the location of some of those offshore drilling platforms so people can kind of see visually exactly what happened. But a fairly intense storm, and it took a lot of refining capacity offline. This last week, we saw not only the petroleum and crude oil stock report, but we also got the typical weekly EIA report that reports natural gas. We had been trending lower in terms of the rig count, which is the number of active offshore platforms that are actively drilling and extracting. There was logically a lot of evacuation and people kind of shuttering and shutting down those facilities ahead of the storm and any potential damage. So we've been running a little bit lighter in terms of our rig count activity over that. In addition to that, we saw some of the major oil processing facilities on the mainland owned and operated by companies like Chevron, Exxon, Mobil, Valero, et cetera. That area, represents about 12% of the U.S. refining capacity, and that was actually shut down too ahead of the storm. So we've seen a pretty good impact of shutting down. Fortunately, no major reported of any catastrophic damage to the refiners, but. Just like in sugar, when you lose a couple of days of melt or refining capacity, you don't get it back. The facilities can try to pick it up on the back end by running a little bit more higher capacity utilization, but usually lost days are hard to make up down the line.
What's it take to get those back up? Do they come back up and running instantly, or is there a buildup where it takes them several days to start operating again?
Yeah, there'll be a slow buildup or ramp back up again. And, we've been watching the reported stock numbers, case in point. I think through the month of August, at this point, refineries have only been operating at about 76, 77% of their total operable capacity. Part of that's been price driven and related to demand, because in the COVID environment, people are not driving as much.
Right.
We began this call by saying that Labor Day kind of marks the tail end of the busiest driving season of the year that occurs over the summer, obviously, when people are taking their family vacation holidays over the summer between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Usually Labor Day marks the time period where it's back to school, back to work, et cetera. Although, this year may be a little bit different than that.
I'm sure it will be very different. I know traffic has not picked up here on my commute, so I'm sure that's going to be like that in most cities around the country.
It's been an interesting, in terms of the extraction and the operating capacity and the production has been lower as of late, but our stocks have been trending on the higher side of expectations or on the five-year high end of the statistical averages. Most of that is because of a decrease in demand where people are not flying. So there isn't the same kind of demand that we're seeing for things like jet fuel, or people are not on the road as much. Using one simple statistic, I know I've only filled my car, I think, twice, with tanks of gas over the last 6 months. So I think if I model the norm of what most people are doing, I think most people are probably seeing the same thing.
Well, congratulations, Jeff.
Yeah, OPEC has been, OPEC Plus has been maintaining some of their production cuts and curbs to try to help stabilize and support pricing. We did get a little bit of boost in pricing last week ahead of those storms. Where we made it up to $42, $43 a barrel. It subsequently cooled. And I think the last 2 days, what we've witnessed is a big risk-off trade, with people dumping not only equities, but commodity sell-off has also been underway as well.
Right. No, definitely. And all of that going on, and yet we're still only at September 4th, which means we still have a ways to go with this tropical storm season.
Yeah, I mean, we're through, I think you said Omar, so we're 2/3 of the way through the alphabet, and we're literally only about a week away from the height of hurricane season, so we're only about midway through. So we have a number of months to go. So this may be one of those years where we lap that alphabet, and we've got to start all over back at A again in terms of the name storms, to your point.
Now, that'll be pretty incredible if we start recycling the alphabet again this season, because that hasn't, I think that's only happened one or two other times.
That's right. And what we're seeing in terms of the storm track activity, there's been a kind of a steady stream or train of storms that are forming off the coast of Africa in the equatorial Atlantic. The sea surface temperatures there have been warm, so they've been feeding the energy into positive storm development. And there's just been one after another. Fortunately, there's been a Bermuda high in place that's been steering most of those storms more into Central America, Mexico, and into the Gulf, and not up the eastern seaboard, where you've got a large percentage of the U.S. populace residing near the coast. But it does pose some further risks to people in the Gulf Coast states, specifically of Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and into Florida. And this last storm, Laura, as you said, kind of came into that prime gas, not only offshore drilling area that lies between Houston up through Galveston and onto New Orleans, but you've got a lot of that gasoline and distillate production onshore as well that unfortunately needs to be shuttered as you evacuate people. And I think in this last storm, it was upwards of 750,000 people were evacuated away from the coast, where some of the damage, the winds and the storm surge was expected to be the most intense.
Right. Yeah, and that's obviously going to be a big disruption. Fortunately, demand's not strong, as we've been talking about, so we can get away with a little bit of that. But what are your thoughts here? Let me give it a little bit more of a long-term perspective here for the energy markets. I mean, I know you can't really decide how many tropical storms are going to be hitting the Gulf Coast or anything like that, but just say you only get another storm or two coming through the Gulf. What do you think long term here? You know, give us your thoughts on as far as 6-9 months where the energy markets are heading.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the rig count is down, so the amount of extraction or the buildup or the production that's coming out of the active drilling sites has been on the lighter side of what is normal. But conversely, against that, demand's been weak, and so stocks have remained healthy and relatively high on the 5-year average. If and when a vaccine is developed and rolled out, and when we finally do get economic recovery and economies around the world and states here in the United States reopening and demand comes back, I think that's where the concern lies. And that's why you've got such steep carry in a number of the marketplaces. Natural gas is a great example where the spot nearby contracts have traded down considerably and gotten kind of sloppy. Back in the early spring, we actually traded at a negative or inverse on the gas because we literally ran out of storage space of where to put it. But the futures are in contango, which is just a kind of a fancy term for that step function, where people are willing to pay higher premiums to store either crude and or gas underground for later extraction and use. So, I think there are healthy premiums out there, and the market is definitely encouraging or incentivizing financially people to not hoard, but store gas for the expected return of demand longer term. When and if we do reopen economies, I think on the gas side anyway, the concern is with the healthy pace of LNG exports, as well as the pipelines going down into like Mexico, that the demand will be strong and we'll need to ramp up that rig count and the extraction. Likewise, I think people are eyeballing this winter and hoping it's not going to be overly cold, requiring a lot of more gas consumption than last winter, for instance.
All right, great. Well, I think you've covered this pretty well, Jeff, but do you have any other last comments for our listeners as far as what they should be looking at, what they should be doing going forward?
No, I think just maintaining a discipline and taking a look at dips and looking at those as opportunities in the marketplace to layer on additional hedging and kind of furthering your hedge horizon out into 2021. As we're now well into the end of the third quarter, we only have 1 quarter or 90 days in the fourth quarter remaining. So although it doesn't feel like it's the end of the year, it's going to be here before you know it, and then we'll be into 2021. So I would just encourage those that are kind of tuned in and listening to take a look at that IQ platform, take a look at the post that contains some of the stats that were extracted out of this week's petroleum weekly report, as well as the natural gas EIA reported numbers, shows the storm track, and just be watching the hurricane activity in the Atlantic, because we're only halfway through that season right now.
Yeah, that great warning, and let's just hope we don't see too much activity coming our way.
Absolutely. So. And just wishing everyone a very safe and enjoyable Labor Day long holiday weekend.
Exactly. And before we sign up, I'd just like to remind everyone about our free CBD study available on our website, www.mckinneyflavelle.com. And again, Jeff, appreciate all your comments on the energy market and joining us on this Friday when, our fearless leader decides to take off. Obviously, it would have been very understandable if you were out going camping or running around. But, we don't want to mess up your gasoline consumption either at 2 tanks. That's pretty impressive.
Everyone's entitled to go out there and have a little fun, especially if it's with your son out in the woods. So I hope he's enjoying the camping.
Great. And that wraps up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening in. And as Mike always says, live with an attitude and gratitude. Until next time, take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.